poor sinner like me. Well, that'll make your heart weep. You find out that you're the sinner that He came to seek and to save. To find out that you're a poor sinner. Find out that you've got nothing. Nothing to barter with. Nothing to bring. Just your sinful self. Turn with me here to the fifth chapter of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. Talk to you about a dead girl restored to life. That ought to be interesting. A dead girl restored to life. You're not going to hear many stories like this or read many stories like this from the newspaper, from current news events. A dead girl restored unto life. Down here in verse 35, while he yet spake, it seemed to be, or it indicates that he might have been interrupted, interfered with in some way from a servant from this ruler's house. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Now you got to look over there in verse 22. Jesus here says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly. That is, there was no let up. He was deliberate and continued. He just kept on and on and on, almost like somebody who got on your nerves. He besought him greatly, just sought him and sought him and sought him. He said, he had reason too. He had reason to do this. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. My little daughter. Now, that says something there. My little daughter. Not just my girl, my 12-year-old girl, my 14-year-old girl, my baby girl, but he said, my little daughter. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Now, that had caused some anxiety for a father and a mother, wouldn't it? Huh? I pray thee, he said, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Just kind of overcome him. The crowd was so great. They wanted to see what this man could do. As most of them, in all probability, out of curiosity. Not too much true faith in this whole crowd, I don't think. And they followed him and thronged him, but here again, a certain woman interfered. Came running in there. And she was wanting to do business with the Lord. So you see, in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue. That was this, what I just read about in verse 22. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said unto, now he's saying unto this man Jairus, The servant comes over and he says, Jairus, thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any part? Why don't you let up now? He was real insistent, you know. He cried out and insisted and tried to belabor this case and explain the details and all that and the importance of it and all. And why troublest thou the master any further? Your daughter's dead. It's over with now. Let's go home. But as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, now he didn't have to hear in order to know what was going on, but he kind of condescends to our level. We might understand, after all, he was a man. Man and God in one person, as God Almighty, he knew. He knew about this case. He knew about it before the world ever was. But as soon as he heard that the word was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man, permitted no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult. I looked that word up, tumult. That means a noisy commotion. And them that wept and wailed greatly, as weeping and wailing. And I'm reminded of the news clips on the television when some of the Arabs, the Jews, crossed the border or killed some Arabs, and the Arabs killed some Jews. And they take their casket down the middle of the street, and the women just wail, don't they? They just wail and cry and carry on. Back in these days, if there wasn't enough family to weep and to wail, they'd hire people to weep and to wail. So there was a noisy commotion there. Tumult to them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, the Lord Jesus Christ now, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? Why are you carrying on like you are? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. They thought that was a big joke. Well, we'd probably do the same thing, wouldn't we? Say, well, I don't know about that. Girl's dead. We know she's dead. Maybe she'd been laying there for hours. We know she. But when he had put them all out, oh, the gentleness and the tenderness of our Lord Jesus Christ. He put them out, said, you fellas stay out there. And when he'd put them out, he got the father and the mother of the little girl and them that were with him. And he entereth in where the little girl was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and he said unto her, I'm not sure I can pronounce that, but he interprets what it means. Here's what he said, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. No wonder they was astonished. Here was a girl, a dead girl, restored to life. All right, let's learn some things from these few verses. Let's learn this, that the keys of death are in the hands of the Lord. Let's learn that. First off, the keys of death are in the hands of the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. I hold the keys of death. I hold them. I hold them. I give them and I take them. I openeth and I shutteth. The keys is in His hands. And as I read to you, one day in the future, He'll swallow up death in victory. Let's learn that rank and places, men, wherever wherever they're at, whatever their situation is, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, their rank, their station in life, places no man beyond the reach of grief and sorrow and trials and troubles and tribulations, regardless. Jairus was a ruler. He was a wealthy man. Yet sickness and trouble had come to his house. Now, I'm sure being a wealthy man and the ruler of the synagogue, all the medical help that his wealth could command was at his disposal. But yet, he couldn't keep death away from his door. Rank has nothing to do with it. Rich people's children are liable to sickness as well as the children of poor men. The children of poor men must die, and the children of rich men must die. The possession of wealth is no antidote to grief. Death comes to the rich and to the poor. It stands on no ceremony. It tarries no man's leisure or convenience. It will not be kept out by doors and locks. It's appointed unto man once to die. And all are going to the same place. That's the grave. All of us is going to wind up there. Believers and unbelievers alike, we're all going to die, and we're going to wind up in a grave 6x3 with a clod of dirt upon our heads. We're going to die. Heaven is the only place where the dweller shall say, I'm not sick. That's the only place they are, under the sun, in the universe, in the world of worlds. The only place where men don't get sick and men don't die is God's heaven. That's the only place. So if that is the only place, we ought to adhere to what Paul says there in the book of Colossians when he says, set your affections on things of heaven. Get your hearts and your minds acquainted with what's taking place up there. Well, here's another thing we need to learn. We need to learn something about the almighty power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. The news of the child dying pierced his heart. And he at once cheered the father's spirit. The father was certainly in a spiritual darkness, overcast, heaviness. When that fellow said, don't trouble him anymore, your daughter's dead. And our Lord at once turned to this man. He turned to him and with these gracious words, he said, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Only believe. Well, the Lord goes to the house where all this weeping and wailing is taking place, where this little girl is, and he takes this little girl by the hand and tells her to arise. Just reaches down there and takes that limp, cold hand and says to her, arise. And the moment that he said that, her heart begins to beat and she begins to breathe. She's alive. This girl is dead, stone cold dead in the market. And our Lord said, arise. And she began to breathe. And breath returned to her lifeless, hopeless, helpless body. She arose and walked. And the people were astonished. As I've already said, no wonder they is astonished. They went from weeping to rejoicing. They went from mourning to congratulations. They went from death unto life. I once was dead, but now I live. I once was blind, but now I see. Time of rejoicing when the dead are made to live. How must the family of this Jairus felt when they saw their beloved little daughter back with life in her face, sparkle in her eye? The family got together. What a happy family this was. Imagine you and I and our families, if one of ours died and something like this happened. Wouldn't we be happy? Wouldn't we be happy? We'd be rejoicing. We wouldn't be crying anymore. Oh, we'd be thanking Him who said arise. Happy family. Oh, this is what? Well, this is proof beyond question. This is an indisputable fact of what He can do. What He can do for dead souls. He can raise dead souls. He can raise our children. You got any dead children in your family? Dead in trespasses and in sins. If they have not done business with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are yet dead in trespasses and in sins. What He can do for dead souls. This is a proof right here. He can raise our children from the death of trespasses and in sins. He can make them walk before Him in newness of life. Arise and walk. And she did. What a happy family they were there. He can take our sons and daughters by the hand and say unto them, arise. Have we any dead souls in our family? Certainly we do. Certainly we do. What do we need to do? If we can learn anything from this, let's be like Jairus, that ruler. Let's try to trouble him. Let's seek him. Let's seek his face. Let's send him message after message to come and help us. Come and do something for us. Come and raise our children from the state of death. We could do that, couldn't we? Let us send message after message. Let's ask Him to help. He came at the insistence of Jairus. Jairus met Him down there and besought Him greatly. He insisted. Let me tell you my story, he said. My little girl, all I've got. She's sick and she's going to die and she needs help. He besought the Lord Jesus Christ greatly. Oh, to the extent that the servants and some of them said, don't trouble him anymore. Don't trouble him anymore. The girl's dead. But the message found a place in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's call on him. You know, sometimes we think, and this is 20th century religion that teaches us this, you know that I know that a man saved by the grace of God, he ought to be a good witness and testimony to his children. He ought to be a faithful witness, a godly witness. And I know that most of you that I know of are. I know that you don't live ungodly. You don't... you're not an idolater or an adulterer or a fornicator. You're not of the world. You've separated yourself from the world. You're a good witness. Most of you are like that. I feel sure you are. Feel certain that you are. But we hear so much of this business of... if we just love our children like they ought to be loved, that our love is is so strong it'd bring them into the fold. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that'll do it. I know the Bible says love is stronger than death, but that's His love, not mine. That's His love. Your love is not going to be the means. It might be, but I doubt it seriously if it will be. I know you take your children, you love them. You'll do anything for them. You'll spend and be spent for your children. And you've proven that time and time again. But did that bring them into the kingdom of God? Not very many can say, yeah. My life, I lived a Christian life and it was so strong and so dedicated that my son or my daughter was overcome by my devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. That drew him. Some can say that, maybe, but not many, not many. Your love is not stronger than death. What must I do? What must I do? I grieve. My daughter is sick and she's about to die. What must I do? Seek the Lord. Ask Him for help. Send Him message after message. Not one time. Time after time. Every day. Every day. Every time it comes to your mind. Wherever you're at, say, Lord, remember him. He needs some help. God, if you don't help him, he'll never be helped. You know what I'm talking about. Trouble him. Trouble God. Interfere. Be insistent. Hear me, Lord. Help, 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 help. Let's call on him to come and quicken them from their dead state. We have dead children, don't we? Some of you got dead mothers and fathers. Some of you got dead brothers and sisters. Some of you got dead sons and dead daughters. Oh, go to Him. Lord, quicken Him. Quicken Him. Give Him life, Lord. Give Him life. He's dead. He don't understand spiritual things. He had no desire for God. Quicken Him, Father. Tell Him to arise. Work in Him. Work thy power, thy mighty power in his heart and change him. Make him a new creation. Oh, Lord, do that for your glory and for your honor. Oh, he has plenty of mercy. He's not short on mercy. He has lots of it. He's rich in mercy to all that call upon him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. That's what the Bible says. Seek him, seek him, seek him. Be persistent and insistent upon it. Lastly, learn this thing from it. That the resurrection of this young girl, that's a blessed pledge of what he will do in the time when he returns. You see, he's going to come again. There's such a thing as the come. He came once. He came once and he accomplished what God sent him to do. He finished the work. He put away sin. He made an end of sin. And he laid down his life. And then he took it up again. And he said, I'm going to my Father. I'm going to my Father's house. That's where I'm going. I'm going to leave you one here. That you'll not be an orphan. I'll leave you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And He'll lead you and guide you and direct you in all truth while I'm away. But He said, I'll come again. I'll come one day and I'll get you. I'll come and get you. Does not the Bible say that God said that He'll get them that sleep in Jesus, and He'll bring them with Him when He comes for us. That's what He says. Oh, listen. It's a pledge of what He'll do in the time of His coming. We'll call His believing people from their graves, and He'll give them a more and better and more glorious body than they had before they went into the grave. It says that He'll gather His elect people from the north and the south and the east and the west to part no more. To part no more. The believing parents shall once more see believing children. Believing children. The believing husband shall once more see believing wife. And I like this, that the believing parents shall once more see believing children. Now I have a child that's grown. Yes, sir. Four boys. But I got one living, or one dead in the grave. But she lives and sleeps in Him. She wasn't old enough to be converted. She's only 6 months old. And the 9th of this month, had she lived, she would have been 50 years old. 50 years old had she lived. But she died. God took her. And believing parents at this time, when He comes, and He pledges that He will, we'll see believing children. Huh? Oh. There'll be a glorious resurrection morning yet to come. And them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him. That's something. Anybody here this evening, has God give you life? Has God given you some life? Well, let me tell you this now. In this chapter here, this woman here, that she is sick for 12 years, I think it says. Sick for 12. She what she sought for 12 years, she sought in vain. She never found what she sought for, and she did it for 12 years. Sought in vain. But it came to her. What she sought for 12 years, and all in vain. What she sought for came to her as quick as a flash. As quick as a flash. It said she'd suffered many things at the hands, many things of many physicians. Spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she heard of Jesus. And came in the press behind, and she wanted to touch His garment. And she said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press, and He said this, "Who touched my clothes?" He knew who touched His clothes. He knew her history. He knew her before she was ever born. He knew her. He knew she was going to be there. He knew what the situation was. But He said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciple said unto Him, "You see the multitude here all around you? Why do you say, 'Who touched me?'" It's an impossibility to find out who touched you. And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. What's happening here now? He wasn't going to let this woman go. He wasn't going to let her go. She's going to have to acknowledge before this crowd what happened. She's going to have to do it. First, she didn't think she ought to do it. You know, maybe she can just kind of slip out and go on back home. She's healed. She felt in her heart she's healed. Maybe I'll just go home. But He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. She knew what happened to her. She knew that when I touched the hem of His garment, when I touched His clothes, I was healed. And He wasn't going to let her get by until she publicly acknowledged that. And she came and fell down before him, and she told him all the truth. She told him that I'm only a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. That's what she told him. And she told him, I touched the hem of your garment, and virtue came forth from you, and I felt in my very soul I was healed. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and behold thy plague. And while he spake, and that's where I started on this island, he wouldn't let her leave that crowd until she told him what happened. Has the Lord done anything for you? Has he ever touched your heart? He might not let you go. And he might let you go. I'd rather that he wouldn't let you go. God help us all. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.